Hello and welcome to In Conservation With, a brand new podcast for URN. I'm your host, Chris Shine. This podcast is looking specifically at wildlife, and in particular, conservation projects and wildlife that you can see in your local area. The show is basically going to be split up into three parts. The first, you can probably guess by the title, is going to look at conservation kind of in the local area, Nottingham particularly. And hopefully most weeks, obviously this is the first one, so not this week, I will get in a guest who can tell me a little bit about their interest in wildlife and kind of conservation projects they've been involved in. The second section will focus on wildlife in popular culture. So this week, the first episode, we're going to talk about Autumn Watch. But kind of in future weeks, we'll talk about things such as Blue Planet 2 and other programmes and films that kind of crop up talking about wildlife. And then the third section is going to be Well I Never, a section which focuses on wildlife you might not expect to see in the British Isles and the best places you can go and try and watch these, particularly the focus from the land, but also if there's certain species which you need to take a boat trip to go and see, then we'll mention these as well. So the first section we're going to talk about is a section where normally I'll interview a guest, but I thought it's only fair if I ask them to do it that I take the test myself. So here goes. So the first question is, what is your first memory of wildlife? My first memory was being taken on Jubilee Queen by my parents in Padstow in Cornwall. I must have been about 5 or 6 at the time, and we took the Jubilee Queen to Puffin Island. And as you've probably guessed, we saw puffins. And kind of ever since that day, I've kind of been hooked by seeing birds and spotting them. And when I was younger, it was always kind of a competition for me to try and spot the rarest bird or the kind of the coolest bird I could find. But since then, I've kind of got more of an interest in kind of birds and wildlife in general, and not just spotting the birds, but also their behaviour. The next question is, what is your favourite spot? So what's the kind of time when you've seen wildlife that you think has been the most incredible or sticks in your mind? And for me, it actually, funny enough, it comes in Disneyland Florida, Animal Kingdom. And we were, for those who've been, we were wandering around the kind of the part of the park where you've got the big pond with loads of fish swimming around, and I think there were pelicans and stuff by the side. And me and my dad kind of turned around looking at the pond, it's bigger than a pond, and we saw an anhinga spear a fish. Literally the beak just went straight through the fish, and it's genuinely one of the most incredible things I've ever seen in my life. And we kind of both looked at each other in astonishment at what we'd just seen. The next question is, what is your favourite place to see wildlife or to go and watch wildlife? It's quite an easy one for me because I'm from Bristol, and very locally to us we have the Slimbridge Wildlife and Wetland Trust, and it's kind of always been my favourite, and we've tried to go there whenever we can. And it's really my favourite because of the variety of birds you can see in particular. And it's just phenomenal seeing such a vast range, and kind of every hide you go to there's something extraordinary and stuff that you can try and spot. And the other thing we like is regularly you kind of get these species that are really rare, and quite often they come at Slimbridge, and I love me and my dad when we go and charge down to Slimbridge to try and spot them before they kind of fly away. And then the last question I'm going to ask is about just any other interesting stories really. Is there anything else to do with wildlife that you think might be interesting to listeners? And for me, I struggle to be honest, but the one that does come to mind is I once spent a day volunteering at Chichester Cathedral trying to help people to see the peregrines. I think I must have been 13 or 14 at the time, and I was fortunate to have quite good eyesight, and I seemed to be able to pick up the peregrines a lot earlier than some of the more elderly volunteers, shall we say. So, and I love spending the day there helping people see the peregrines, and kind of I learnt a lot doing that, and it was a really good experience that I loved really. In the next subsection, we're going to take a look at conservation projects in the local area. And for this first instalment, we're going to take a look at the leading wildlife conservation charity in Nottinghamshire, the Nottinghamshire Wildlife Trust. This is an organisation that cares for over 60 nature reserves across the county. And these range from wildflower meadows to ancient woodlands, and with all the kind of variations in species that these entail. Another key role that they kind of quote on their website is to engage the local community through events, education and volunteering opportunities. And they kind of understand the importance of not just kind of volunteering and doing the job yourself, but trying to inspire others and find ways to get other people involved. And finally, they kind of name themselves as a leading voice in standing up for the wildlife and the environment in Nottingham. And they're kind of quite important with local authorities and the government in kind of informing policy and helping them make decisions with regards to our kind of wildlife spaces. So, of the 60 nature reserves they manage, we're just going to talk about two of them. If you want to know more, then just go to www.nottinghamshirewildlife.org, and they've kind of got details of all the 60 reserves and the various other kind of work that they do. So the first one we're going to talk about is the nearest one to kind of University Park, and that's King's Meadow. And as you can probably guess by the name, it's just a stone's throw away from King's Meadow campus. And kind of I Google Maps it, and it's about a 15-minute walk from Uni Park. And it's one of the smallest nature reserves, and it kind of covers just over 1 hectare. But there's a number of rare species found there, and in particular, it's kind of flowers and plants and orchids are of particular interest. And the southern marsh orchid, which is apparently quite a rare species, I'm not an expert in orchids. That's called orchid. is found there, and kind of it's really important for research and stuff and understanding how these species can thrive. The biggest nature reserve on Nottinghamshire Wildlife Trust books is Attenborough, and as you've probably known if you've kind of got the train from Nottingham to Derby, Attenborough is kind of 3 train stops away from Nottingham Station, and I think it's 2 from Beeston Station, and it covers 360 acres of land, and it's formed mainly of islands and flooded former gravel pits. On the train you can see it, it's on the left, and it's kind of the series of lakes and stuff that appears on your left-hand side, I think, if you're going from Nottingham to Derby. And this area is particularly good for birds, and it's a particularly important space for winterfowl. So shovelers and diving ducks, sawbills, sea ducks, widgeon, teal, mallards are all kind of found in this water space, and you can also find all types of British grebe, so great crested, little grebe, and so on. So yeah, so that's the nature reserves, and I really strongly advise you to go down and have a look if you get the chance. You've got kind of these great wildlife spaces on our doorstep, and you can constantly be amazed by what you see, and you may be new to birding and wildlife spotting, you may not, but I think a lot of people don't appreciate how many different species of wildlife and bird we have in this country, and tarnishing them all with the same brush, well, that's a bird. I really think you miss out on a lot of joy and a lot of kind of wonder at the natural world that we live in. Another focus of the Nottinghamshire Wildlife Trust, alongside the nature reserves, are various conservation projects that they carry out in the county to kind of help species that may be struggling. One of these is the Blue Butterfly Grassland Conservation Scheme. And this is a scheme where they work in partnership with local authorities to manage and recreate disappearing grassland. So as you know, kind of with the demand for housing and various other developments, a lot of our natural spaces in the city and surrounding areas are quickly disappearing. And this scheme is all about kind of protecting some of these spaces, and those that are still there, recreating them so they're kind of the best possible fit for the species that depend on them. The scheme currently has 50 sites, and it's really important to help ensure precious wildflowers and fragile butterflies are able to thrive. So that's one scheme. Another scheme, which I think is of particular importance, is the Farmland Bird Bed and Breakfast Scheme. And it's come from the discovery that a number of bird species found on farmland are of a conservation concern due to a dramatic decline in numbers over the past 25 years. So these include kind of tree sparrows, linnets, yellowhammers, all of these species which 25 years ago were kind of thriving, doing really well in that short space of time, a quarter of a century. They're in dramatic decline, and some of them are endangered. Kind of some of the key factors identified for this decline have been the lack of food, the lack of winter food, and the lack of nesting sites. So this scheme has kind of worked to tackle these. The main way in which they've done this is they've provided farmers with a feeding hopper and nest boxes, as well as good ways to kind of find food. And the hope is that the more farmers that get involved, the more the numbers will recover, and hopefully these species can kind of get back to where they once were. As as of time of publishing. Roughly 50 farms will join the scheme, so obviously it's taking off really well, and hopefully if more and more kind of farmers can join this, then we can see some of our beloved birds return to kind of past glories, to coin a phrase. So again, if you want to know more about the amazing work the Nottinghamshire Wildlife Trust does, then visit their website, www.nottinghamshirewildlife.org. On there you'll find loads of stuff about ways you can help. There's stuff about kind of getting involved with volunteering on those conservation projects and other ones they're doing, bird walks. And the particular thing of interest is they talk about things you can do in your own spaces, in your own back gardens, that can make a really big difference to wildlife. And kind of no action is too small. Everything, every little helps. Okay, so in this next section, we're going to talk about wildlife in popular culture. And to kickstart this feature, it's just with great delight that Autumn Watch has returned for another series. The show will once again be presented by Chris Packham, Michaela Strachan, Martin Hughes-Games and Gillian Burke. For those who watched Spring Watch earlier in the year, the backdrop will be familiar, as for the first time ever, they've returned to the National Trust Sherborne Park Estate. So they've kind of conducted both series in the same location. And kind of this was done because one of the main goals of this series is to kind of show people how wildlife is everywhere. It's in your back gardens, it's in your local countryside. And they kind of feel that Sherborne Park Estate is reflective of kind of people's experiences of wildlife and spaces that they can get involved with. There's many focuses of this year's show, the first being barn owls. So again, if you watched Spring Watch, you've followed a family of barn owl parents and their offspring trying to fledge, and you'll find out about how these got on and whether they made it through the summer on the show. And also they've kind of, the cameras they installed in spring to observe their progress will be used again to monitor the barn owl parents and to see how they're coping with the changing season and the changing weather conditions and that sort of thing. Another focus of this year's show will be badgers. This year they'll be monitoring two distinct badger sets, with the kind of aim being to truly understand the kind of different animals that are living with them in the kind of estate. Backed by popular demand, another focus will be on garden feeding, and there's going to be garden feeders set up that will stream online 24 hours a day, and hopefully this will inspire more of the public and more people to put up feeders in their own gardens. And it kind of relates back to what I was saying earlier, that a simple act of putting a feeder up with some food in can really help these species, particularly in winter when food is really difficult to come by and when you're trying to kind of make it through a very difficult period of time with sparse resources. It just makes such a big difference when feeders are going up that kind of you can utilize. Another focus is the underwater river cam. This is basically where they're going to put a camera underwater with the aim of kind of capturing everything that goes on beneath the surface. Stuff like animals like deer and foxes and stuff that we're quite regularly exposed to, but maybe trout and stuff like that under the water, then we're not as familiar with. So this, I think, will be this for me will be particularly interesting to see the biodiversity that's happening under the water in our rivers. There'll also be a rabbit cam, and then finally there'll be fox feeding tests in association with the University of Sussex. And basically, I'll talk a little bit more about the foxes later, but they're going to try and compare feeding habits and skills for foxes in an urban environment and foxes in a rural environment. So alongside those key focuses, they're also setting Martin a series of missions, four in total. The first of these will involve him snorkeling in the river in search of trout, and kind of the purpose is to educate people as to how cleaner rivers that attract trout and allow them to thrive have a whole host of other benefits to our wildlife. He'll also be following fallow deer, and fallow deer are a species that's quite normally quiet and reserved, but Martin will venture deep into the forest in the hope of seeing the fallow deer rut in action. For those who watched a few series back, I think it was with Simon, following the red deer rut with kind of Caesar and Brutus, I can assure you it'll be a very good watch, and it's basically like a drama most of the time. Alongside this, he's going to be looking at lesser horseshoe bats, and they'll go underground to kind of listen to their social calls and their way of communication. And finally, kind of the oddest of the selection is a thing called worm grunting, and they're going to introduce a novel approach to try and charm worms to the surface, and beyond this try and explain why that's useful and kind of what the purpose of doing that is. And then lastly, on the Autumn Watch side of things, Gillian Burke will be, well, I'm assuming she's already there, she'll be shown live from Bournemouth, and she's kind of following in Gordon Buchanan's footsteps and taking a look at the urban foxes there and kind of following their behaviour. And she's kind of setting up in the garden of a family who's fox mad. And the reason they're there is because Bournemouth has the highest density of foxes in the UK, so I'm sure all of that will lead to really interesting viewing. For me, the reason I chose this as the first one is because I've always loved watching Spring Watch and Autumn Watch, and although it's a shame they've kind of cut it down to 4 episodes this year, it really is such a good programme for highlighting the best of British wildlife and kind of informing people as to what is out and around them and how to get involved and where to see things. So if you haven't seen it before, I really strongly advise you at least give it a watch. I think it's on BBC Two, Monday to Thursday, 8 p.m. Lastly is the section we have called Well I Never, where we're going to take a look at species of animal that you may not expect to find in or around the British Isles. So for the first week is a species that you might associate more with the tropics of the Caribbean, Hawaii, Barbados, Bahamas, but actually can be found from Cornwall to Inverness, and that is the dolphin. Now, kind of for the purposes of this, I've included a porpoise as well, and kind of the 7 main types of dolphin and porpoise you can see in the UK are the common dolphin, harbour porpoise, white beak dolphin, Atlantic white-sided dolphin, bottlenose dolphin, striped dolphin, and Risso's dolphin. And these aren't just kind of scarce appearances, the kind of particularly harbour porpoise, white beak dolphin, and bottlenose dolphin are all relatively common in and around the British Isles, and kind of experts can see them at will, and Joe Bloggs of the British public can have a really good chance of seeing them if they know where to look. So if you're planning to go out in search of dolphins, then let me suggest the following few spots. So Durlston Head in Dorset. Just kind of to clarify, these are all places you can see them from land, so obviously all times of year it's not the best. If you try and make sure you go when you know they're going to be around. So the first of these was Durlston Head in Dorset. You've also got Prawl Point in Devon. It's Porthgamara, and I'm not quite sure how to... Porthgara, maybe? I'm not quite sure. I'm sure people who are from the area will know how to pronounce that for me and be able to correct me. Cardigan Bay in Wales is a really popular site, and a lot of companies operate tours out of Cardigan Bay, although you're perfectly able to kind of go and see them without booking onto a tour. Moray Firth in Inverness is also a good spot if you're kind of up north. Loch Gairloch in Westeros, Scotland. No, I promise that's different from Game of Thrones, although I'm sure there must be a link somewhere. And then finally, Shannonry Point in the Black Isle in Scotland, right up north, is also a good place to see dolphins. So sadly, that brings us to the end of our first podcast. Thank you so much for listening. It really does mean a lot. If you want to kind of find out more information or post your comments and stuff on the show, then like us on Facebook in Conservation with URN, and stay tuned on that page where I'll have all the information about future podcasts and kind of ways that you can get involved. So thank you and goodbye.